Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Gallen. Joining me in the studio right now is Bonnie DeCare Jones and Will Dorman from the Houghton County Fair Association. Now, if you've been listening to the program today, we just got done talking about golf, so it's going to definitely seem like I'm having a hankering for summer to get here. Now we're going to be talking about the summer fair, but there actually is a good reason for us to be doing this. This is, gives us an opportunity to preview some of the things coming up in the fair and also to give listeners a heads up if they want to participate in some of the the competitions that definitely take spring and summer to get ready for. And Bonnie and Will are going to tell us about the new things coming up. So welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and start with Will, because the for a lot of people their main attractions, they go to the fair to see the the rough and tumble stuff in the arena there and some of the things you have going on. I wanted to ask you, what's coming back that people enjoy and what's new?
Okay. We've got the tractor pull is kind of an annual thing on Friday. Saturday, we are having the monster trucks back, the Midwest monster trucks, which is always a very good event. Sunday is the demolition derby. I've kind of got things written down here. I'm just going to go over them real quick. Fast action motorsports, the remote control cars. We had a great turnout last year. They're coming back. They're going to be here all 4 days of the fair. The motocross is Thursday, 7 o'clock, the motocross racing, which everybody comes to. On Friday, the farm tractor pull. That's going to be, it's moved up a half an hour. It's at 5:30. At 7:30 is the off-road derby, and we're having the UTV races back, the side-by-sides. On Saturday, Midwest Monster Trucks, the halftime of that, on Saturday and Sunday, we've got a new act. It's the Big Air ATV Jumpers. Seen this? These guys are wild on their ATVs. Big jumps, catching big air. And they're going to be here on Saturday and Sunday, three shows a day, and they're also the halftime of the monster trucks. On Sunday, at 2 o'clock is the demolition derby. Get your cars together. We're really trying to make a push. We've got more sponsors, more money this year. Get your cars together, come out, have some fun at the fair.
Now, just so people don't think that I'm running a rerun from last year, what is the dates for the fair?
August 24th through the 27th.
Okay, so we are a few months ahead, but like you said, we're kind of doing this right now, and when the fair gets a little closer, we're going to revisit a lot of these things, go through the schedule again when everything's finalized, and we're promoting this a couple of weeks before the fair. But if you're not thinking about being in the demolition derby till 10 days before the fair, the chances are you being ready for it are pretty slim.
It's a little hard. If you've been thinking about it, get out, find a car, get your buddies together, build one. The UTV races. If you need to fix your side-by-side or get ready for the races, you might as well get started on it now. Practice, get used to racing, get your equipment ready. We want to see everybody out there. There was a great show last year, which was the first year for the UTV side-by-sides. We hope to at least double that this year.
If people want to get involved in one of those races, how do they do that?
You can get entered by going on the fair website. All the applications, all the paperwork is there to fill it out online. Get your spot reserved. That helps us. Lets us know how many people to plan for. And spread the word. Spread the word to your friends. Let's have a bigger, better fair than we've ever had.
Interesting choice of words, because we see it with a lot of small town county fairs. They tend to shrink over the years. It's just hard to put on a big show every single year. The Houghton mm-hmm. County Fair not only maintains but tends to get a little bit better.
Oh yes. The whole board, all the people, the superintendents, everybody puts in a lot of work. It starts the day after the fair closes from the year before. Everybody puts in a lot of time. And we have the best fair around.
When it comes to evaluating what worked, what didn't work, like with the off-road shows last year and you get to see them, what do you take into account?
We have ticket sales. Honestly, I'm up in the booth. I can look across the arena and see how many people are there. We kind of poll the people as you walk around. Did you go to it? Did you not go to it? And just the amount of entrance that come in, all that is evaluated for whether we change something, keep it the same, have it again, try to find something new, you know, just to keep it fresh.
Okay. Monty, let's go ahead and go over to you here, because you've got a nice list of things that are coming that, you know, other people enjoy about the fair.
I just wanted to remind anybody that if they are interested in entering any of the motorized classes that we have, go on HoutonCountyFair.com. Our entire premium book is on the website. All of our forms, all of our entry fee information, everything is on the website. So you can enter right there and get it done early, get yourself set up, see what you need, and you're all set to go. I just wanted to let you know that this year we're having, roving over the fairgrounds, we're having the Wild World of Dinosaurs.
Roving.
Roving the fairgrounds. They're just going to wander around, and they're going to mingle with the people, and it's the Wild World of Robotic Dinosaurs. And then we also have, when you first come in, right past the pony rides, we're going to have a large semi. It's the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and it's going to be a BB gun shooting range. And they're going to teach gun safety and education on gun safety. And so they're going to have shooting BB guns in an enclosed trailer so we don't hurt anybody. Also, we have the Youth Talent Show again on Thursday. I just wanted to remind everybody, start early now. Start making your crafts, because on Saturday from noon until 6, we have a craft show in the Houghton County Arena building. So make sure you get yourself, get your crafts going and bring them into the Houghton County Fair on Saturday, and you can sell all your crafts. Other than that, we have just the, we have beekeeping shows. We have the Cowboy Challenge, a lot of the regular stuff that we have every year, but we have something for everybody every day.
Beekeeping.
Beekeeping, yes. And we also have a dairy demonstration. So you can come and see cow milking and then also taking care of bees.
The cows I'm fine with. It's the bee phobia. Yeah, but I know a lot of people are really into that, and you know, and it's you know, people pick it up as a bit of a hobby. I think of them as a little nuts, but you know, but that's okay. That's pretty cool. The Youth Talent Show. Now, was it last year when you first went? You know, kind of converted over from what was traditionally the pageant, and then it became a talent show, and you had a lot more people to participate.
Yes, we had quite a large turnout for the Youth Talent Show last year. And we're hoping it just keeps growing every year. It seems like we have so many talented young people in the Copper Country, and they turn out, and it's just amazing. The beautiful, beautiful voices and the talent playing instruments.
Do you remember it was a tap dancer or the clogger or whatever that, I can't quite remember, but I remember this young boy with the dancing was so good, and he won one of the awards. He was definitely up there. Mm-hmm. Well, wonderful young musicians, the different ladies that performed there as mm-hmm. well, too. So great show to see.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We just wanted to come out today and give everybody a heads up that the fair is coming. If you want to join any part of the activity, you're more than welcome. We need all the help we can get. Please call the Houghton County Fair Office at 482-6200. If you need any information or you want to know what's going on when, Carol is our super guru.
Yep.
She knows everything, and she would be more than happy to help anybody with any information they need. But come on out to the Houghton County Fair and start growing your tomatoes as soon as the ground dries. Oh, yeah, and we also have Skirbix coming back this year.
Oh, okay.
Skirbix is coming back, and they're supposed to be bringing bigger and better rides this
They were
year.
Pretty big and good.
They were pretty big. Well, I know that one big thing that turned 360 degrees that I don't remember what it was called.
I didn't want to.
Whatever. But the guy kept trying to get my sister and I on it, and we said there was no way that they were ever going to get us on that ride.
Are the animals coming back?
Yep, we don't have any blocked animals this year, so we're going to have chickens, and we're going to have horses and cattle and goats and llamas and I don't know what else.
Whispering Pines.
Whispering
is coming
Pines.
Back.
Okay,
yep.
That's what kind of I was wondering. Those the petting zoo was always
the petting
so cool.
zoo yeah. is going to be back. Yep,
And as we, you know, you were talking about getting your tomatoes going and stuff. You know, whenever I walk through, the Blue Ribbon, would you call it the indoor outdoor show?
It's the indoor exhibit building.
Yeah. Seeing all the stuff that people put so much work into, and you know, they definitely can't wait until a couple of weeks before the fair to start that. You know, these are projects that are started sometimes the year before, just so that they're ready for the fair next year. And then things like what the 4-H Club does, those type of exhibits. I love walking through and seeing those things. You know, people spend a lot of time and care in making those projects.
It's amazing the talent that the people have. I've seen so many beautiful, beautiful afghans and needlework. And it has to be made within the year from the last fair. But you can start projects the day after the fair is over, and you can bring it to next year's fair. So we're always looking for somebody to enter exhibits. Our indoor division goes up and down. I don't know. I think it our younger people are not getting into the crocheting and knitting like the older generation. And so we're always looking for somebody. And right now, as a matter of fact, we're looking for a superintendent for our horse division. So if anybody out there is interested in being the superintendent for our horse division, please call the office, 482-6200, and Carol can give you the information on what you need for that job.
I wonder if in the future there's like some categories that maybe the young people are into a little bit more, that just sort of out of it evolves. I don't know, the best Lego built thing or something.
Well, look in our premium book. It's on the website, HoughtonCountyFair.com. And in there is our entire premium book. So everything we have at the fair is in that book. So if you want to find if your project is available at the fair, look in the book and you can find if it's there.
Awesome. Bonnie, Will, thank you so much. This is a good preview of the fair. We'll talk more about it this coming August.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Talking right now with fire management specialist from the DNR, Keith Murphy. Welcome to the program, Keith.
Oh, thanks for having me, Rick.
Let me ask you something. As we're kind of getting into most of the snow is melted, we're hoping that spring is here to stay for a little while, though there is some snow outside my window right now. During the wintertime, Keith, what does a fire prevention specialist do?
Oh, well, we do a lot of training, for sure. And then we're setting up for prevention. We're setting up a lot of times that we can go to schools or community centers, community meetings, and talk about fire prevention. So, there's it's not like we're just sitting around waiting for the snow melt. We do a lot of stuff from the prevention aspect to the training aspect for our employees and for fire departments. And then also we're doing a lot of equipment maintenance, keeping up on our stuff. So we're ready for when the snow melts.
Do you pay any attention to wildfires in other parts of the country, like the big ones they had in the Panhandle states?
Yeah, we're always doing that. And we actually do send people out of state during the winter, too, to help out with those fires. We did not send anybody to Kansas, Oklahoma, or Texas there. That was about a month ago. But we did send one person to Florida here a couple weeks ago. So we're still real active with fire in the winter, too. We're just waiting for the requests from those areas to request people. So
we're, of course, going to start camping season, and people are going to be cleaning up their yards, and they're going to find a lot of wet, mushy, sort of leaves and compost that has been going sitting there all winter long. And the common belief is that that's a low risk of fire, but we're finding out recently here that even though we're not in the super dry season, there's a lot of fuel there for wildfires, and the fire potential is actually fairly high even in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, that's our huge concern, is when that snow melts and everything is dead. So, like you said, there might be a pile that's real wet and a lot of moisture in the ground and stuff, but what our problem is our grasses, our fine fuels, some of that small stuff is so dead. You know, there's no moisture in it, so it can carry fire almost any time. Once if you're trying to burn, say, a pile, it's where those light grasses are the ones that'll take off on you. And it only takes, believe it or not, it's 2/3 of a day. So, you know, that mid-afternoon to dry out. So you're thinking, you know, 3-4 o'clock, everybody's getting home from work or school or stuff like that, and they decide to burn their piles. Well, if it rained the night before or it was moist in the morning, it just takes that 2/3 of a day to dry out, and those grasses can burn. So that's where people get in trouble.
When it comes to wildfires in the Upper Peninsula, and I guess specifically, I mean, I'm of course thinking of our neck of the woods here, where, you know, it's very sparsely populated. We do have a few campgrounds, but, you know, we got a lot of camps, of course. But wow, fires that start away from town, are those usually man started, or are we usually the victims of like a lightning strike?
Usually springtime. It's almost, you know, 9 out of 10 fires are caused by humans, but springtime is usually human-caused fires quite a bit. We don't have a lot of lightning in the spring, and if we do, the ground is moist enough that it doesn't ignite any wildfires. But where we get into the lightning problems is more that summertime, when we get into the droughts of July and August. We get some lightning storms come through. Especially your neck of the woods, the Copper Country and North Berrigan, North Marquette County, and even on the east end, that I would say that Lake Superior watershed is where we have all our lightning strike fires in the summertime mainly.
Are campers mostly responsible?
Not necessarily. It's usually that burn barrel that's outside the backyard, or people cleaning up debris and burning the debris from the long winter and all the branches and stuff that have fell down in their yards. It's typically burn piles and burn barrels.
If you're going to be burning debris from the winter, what steps should you take to be safe?
Best thing is to check our burn permit website or call the 800 number. It's updated daily at 10 o'clock Eastern. And it'll say if you're allowed to burn, if there's burning allowed after 6 p.m. Eastern, or there's no burning. And that's based on the weather and the fuels. Some areas are a little different, and I'm thinking up by you guys, I think it's Torch Lake doesn't allow any burning, or you have to call the fire chief. I can look that up real quick. But that's sometimes set by the townships and stuff. So
okay, so they can contact the township office or their local fire department and ask that themselves too.
They could. We like to, mainly you can just check the website or call the 800 number. That's the best thing. But I'm just thinking specifically for your area. I think that's Torch Lake, and I'm looking at it right now. Torch Lake Township. So you got to call the fire departments. Dollar Bay, Bootjack, and Hubble, and Torch Lake. You know. So that's for Houghton County. And that'll tell you on the website. So rather than flood the calls to the fire chiefs or the town halls and stuff, you just check the website, click on your county, and then it'll tell you what to do after that.
Does all the burning have to take place in a barrel?
No. You can do those brush piles. I encourage to compost rather than burning, because that's where we get into trouble. But you can do small brush fire piles. What I like to see there, or what we all like to see, is, you know, if you have garden hose, you have hand tools there, and you don't have any of that dry grass right up to your pile. Ideally, you'd want a 20-acre dirt field, and then you have your brush pile in the middle of that.
Yeah, the perfect.
That's the
world.
Best thing when there's no fine fuels to carry that fire. But I know it doesn't work out that way.
Now, for those that like campfires, in our backyard, we have one of those store bought metal containers with It's got a lid to just burn a little family campfire in the backyard in the evening, and it has seemed relatively safe. But it also at times I've just been sitting there and thinking, oh, I'm sure glad I was sitting here when the wood has shifted or wind has blown a bunch of embers, just in case something was to happen. And it reminds me of all those warnings in the PSAs that say never leave a campfire unattended because something can happen so quickly.
Yeah, we always tell people that with how dry the fuels are, it's a matter of seconds, and that fire can take off for you, and by the time you notice it, it's probably too late. You can't do it by yourself. That garden hose or those hand tools probably is not going to catch that fire. So that's why, you need to be there at all times for sure. And then those backyard fire pits, the best thing there, you need to check with your, say you're in the city of Houghton or in any little village or town, you should check your regulations on that too, because some of the towns have regulations on campfires and stuff for inside the city limits.
Yeah, I'm out in township, so nobody needs to call the police on me.
yeah, no doubt. And the burn permits cover all the way up to within 1,400 feet of a village or town. So that's where you start getting into where the rules change for towns and stuff like that.
For those that don't use a fire pit or they're not at a state campground, which has one of those large cement fire circles there to use, and they want to go sort of the old traditional way of, digging a hole in the ground or lining a circle with rocks, from a fire prevention standpoint, is that wise?
You can do that. There's, nothing that says you can't do it, but the best way, have dirt all the way around it, rake up all the pine needles, all the leaves and grass, and keep that dirt around that fire ring, and then keep it small. I know everybody likes to have a big roaring fire, but if you keep it small, hopefully that keeps you out of trouble. And windy days, you don't want to be doing big fires on windy days or dry, super dry days. If we get a long spell, of like a week of dry weather in the spring, that's when fires can get out quite quickly and spread to wildfires. And then the big thing there, too, on your campfires is you got to drown it out with water. Stir up everything, stir up the ashes. You can flip over unburnt logs and wet those down, too, because that pocket of heat will stay there for quite some time. So, and then double-check your for heat so you can make sure that there's no residual heat left.
On a campfire, when you have a contained fire, and when I mean that again, I'm kind of thinking of those campfires at a state campground that have a, the big cement circle, and it seems fairly safe. Mm-hmm. Just for that particular fire, how out does it need to be before you're able to go and crawl back in your camper?
It should be completely out, just so you don't get in any trouble.
So the
rules
are the same.
Don't want to burn your tent down or burn your camper down. Like I said, stir it all up, drown it with water, stir it again, drown it some more, because it holds heat a long time if you don't stir stuff up and put moisture in there.
Yeah, because I'm an avid camper, and I see that a lot of when people have their fires going, and then they get it down to where it's just the glowing embers, and they're like, okay, everything's good, and then they retire for the night and just let mm-hmm. it burn out through the night because it's, it seems pretty safe when you're out there, but we, of course, especially here in Michigan or in the UP, weather changes pretty quickly at night, wind can pick up, and of course that would be a terrible thing to have happen as a fire breaking out in a campground.
Yes, definitely.
But of course, we see them. We've had a couple of major fires in the last few years here in the Upper Peninsula. We don't want to see any of those again, if we could help it. Speaking of those fires, what is the recovery of like the big Seney wildfire and some of the others, now that we're a few years down, how's that land recuperated?
Oh, yeah, you're thinking of, we had a couple on the east in there. We had Sleeper Lake was in 2007, and then on the federal land there on the refuge in 2012 had a 3,000-acre fire, and then we had the big Duck Lake fire in northern Luce County. And those areas are, they're regenerating great. Trees, jack pine come back after fire, so that's great. A lot of the native flowers and stuff have come back due to that fire, so it's not like a barren ground like the moonscape, if you would think that. It's the regeneration is really going good in those places, and you know, it's helping out wildlife tremendously. It's looking really good.
It's amazing how resilient the planet really is sometimes.
Yeah, fire is, well, that's why we do prescribed burns, do it, because it you know, it does benefit.
Keith, I want to thank you for your time and for the tips on wildfire prevention, and we'll, you know, collectively all do our best to make sure we don't have another one of those big wildfires this year.
Yeah, that sounds great. We really appreciate that.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye. Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.